This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all.
Nancy Pelosi, eat me.
One day I'll get rid of it. One day.
Oh, man.
Nancy Pelosi, eat me.
We're just playing again. Have to
revisit. This isn't Small World.
Nancy Pelosi, eat me.
Sorry. It's one of my favorite sound bites of all time. It really is.
I think all that Botox injection she had probably makes her incapable of giving oral.
Oh.
I don't think she could open her mouth wide enough.
We just lost all our listeners on Facebook Live. Her. Bye, guys. Yeah. Facebook probably just canned us.
Well, I did post that earlier today. When I put the show post up, I said, we are live tonight violating Facebook community standards for at least an hour, and they can't do diddly. We own the network.
Ah! Well, they can shut down my stream to the Facebook Live, you know, audio room that we're hosting this through, as well as our websites and everything.
I got a
else,
quote from Biden earlier, and I had to post that too. He said, these off the hook radio guys are on in about an hour. They're tougher than corn pop. I take that as a compliment.
Absolutely. Wow, we got lots of people popping in on our Facebook Live. So,
Rick, are you tougher than corn pop?
Yeah, why not? I like corn pops.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could kick Biden's ass, right?
Who couldn't kick Biden's ass?
A tortoise can kick Biden's ass.
And that's true. He is a post-turtle, after all. Yep, we went over that last week.
And he remembers everything. He's a tortoise.
Well, yep. we'll get to him later on in the show, but... welcome to Off the Hook Radio for June 29th,
2021.
There you go. That's the right year. I got a question. I just want to know if you guys are as fed up as me. I mean, seriously. You know, we're all conservatives, so therefore, we're all racists.
Yeah.
And if we say we're not racist, apparently that just proves that we are racist. You can't win the argument with these idiots. We got to defeat them, and that's it. But, you know, let me just say this.
F-15s, baby.
I've never judged a person by the color of their skin in my life. So let me explain this. It may be a shock to some of you. Certainly any fool with CNN or PMSNBC would be shocked. That is, if they're still capable of critical thought, which is highly doubtful. But a racist is a person who has prejudice against people of another race. A racist is not a person who disagrees with Democrats. Got it? Get it. Good. Now on to our show.
Nancy Pelosi, eat me.
You're a racist. Oh, no, she's white. No, never mind. These people are among us. It's true. We have a new movement. And if Biden endorses this, it's going to be all over TV news. I swear to God, it will be.
Or Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but he smokes doobies.
Yeah, that's true.
Which, you know, another reason to like him.
Well, he keeps crashing Bitcoin. He's got to stop fucking tweeting and crashing Bitcoin. But anyways.
That's okay. No, this new movement had their first together rally last week in Springfield, Missouri. A crowd of people gathered in downtown Missouri to attend a Birds Aren't Real rally. This is the name of the movement. Birds Aren't Real.
I want whatever shit they're smoking.
According to Peter McIndoe with the Birds Aren't Real movement, all birds in the United States were killed by the government and replaced by federal drones.
Jeez.
What makes me think that? This is Peter McIndoe, not me. I think the evidence is all around us. Birds sit on power lines. We believe they're charging on those power lines. And we believe that bird poop on cars is liquid tracking apparatus. Do we have a bird sound?
I no.
Tweet.
There you go. There's your.
Thank bird. You, Rick. Hey. See, that's how he got the SAG card. He is multi-talented.
But I got something for these people.
And drugs are bad.
Drugs are bad. I think these people are smoking some of that bird shit. This movement, which has been fueled by online chatter as well as mysterious flyers posted in cities across the U.S., is currently on tour. Springfield, Missouri was its first stop. Birds Aren't Real relies on internet-fueled guerrilla marketing to spread a silly message. Followers are poking fun at conspiracy theories like QAnon that have gone mainstream over the last few years. Oh, so basically they're liberals pretending to be wackos. That makes sense. Now it makes more sense because there's 360,000 of these idiots on Reddit, and Reddit's very liberal. McIndoe is the creative muscle behind the avian-inspired conspiracy, according to the National Audubon Society. He went live with Birds Aren't Real in January 2017. Gee, what happened in January 2017? Trump was inaugurated. He did it the Memphis Women's March. So he was walking around with a pussy hat on. So that shows you what kind of guy this is. So the Birds Aren't Real thing is not real either.
Wow, these are
but it's out there. But anyway. The next story, though, we have may or may not tie in. We report, you decide. This is from England. UK in England, neighbors cut a tree in half over a bird poop dispute. The owner of the home where the tree resides said, "We were absolutely distraught." Bharat Mistry, that's his name, Bharat. And his last name is Mistry, M-I-S-T-R-Y. They've had this tree in the front of their family home in Sheffield for 25 years. Sheffield United. They were in the Premier League last year. I think they're out. When words fail, sometimes you have to cut down half a tree. At least that's what one couple did. This couple in Sheffield called in an arborist, cut down half the branches of a 16-foot tall fir tree that were hanging over their driveway. The rest of the trees in their neighbor's yard. That neighbor, Bharat Mistry, told the news company that the tree had been in his front yard for 25 years, but during the coronavirus lockdown last March, his neighbors reportedly asked to have the tree removed. More recently, they complained about birds in the tree making too much noise and pooping on their driveway. So he told the news station that he was trying to work on a solution. We'd asked if we could get a trim back, maybe put a net in it so it would stop birds getting in, but there's no compromise with them. So last weekend, he got a tree surgeon, and we asked him not to do it, but they came on Friday, and they did it. And we're looking at the picture. And
they literally cut it in half.
They didn't cut the trunk of the tree, but they cut every single branch that hung over their driveway.
It's a work of art.
Vertically, straight down.
Yeah. Yes. Well, they hired a real arborist. They hired somebody who knew what they were doing.
It's like a cartoon.
Yeah. Could you imagine driving?
It reminds me of that Peaky Blinders haircut that seems to be all the rage.
Yeah.
You know, where they shave the sides. It just looks stupid. Maybe. You know what really looks stupid is when women do it. Megan Rapinoe, you hear me? Yeah. You look stupid. Then you dye purple what you have left on top. Yeah, that's good. But this guy told the BBC that his family, including his wife and two daughters, were angry when it first happened, but they've calmed down a bit since. We pleaded with them not to do it, but their mind was made up. The tree was coming down. I believe he had the right to cut down anything that is overhanging on his property, Mystery added. But why after 25 years would you do that? Well, there you go.
I'll tell you what.
Reference our previous story. They could be birds are real conspiracy wackos.
There you go. But I guarantee you one thing.
What's that?
Because of how silly that tree looks, it's coming down.
Oh, yeah. Now, Brian, I have to cut down the tree. That's a good point.
It looks so fucking stupid. I mean, literally, could you imagine driving home, coming down your street, pulling up to your house and pulling in and seeing half your fucking tree gone?
Well, I don't want to tell the tree story. I got a guy fucked up my best palm tree on my property a couple years ago.
I remember this.
Yeah. And I got guys coming on July 12th. From a company that I trust, and they're going to do the best they can to save it. But you know, to replace that tree would be like $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be near as big. It'd be like 8 foot. And right now it's about 20. So,
well, and then here's the other thing. He's got to get permission from his homeowner bitch. And it's got to be, you know, he's got to go through all this, you know, bullshit. It's not,
for those who live in palm tree country, it's a Sylvester palm. So people who know their palms will know what I'm talking about.
There you go. Hey, let's take a second. Let's say hi to our few people that are listening on Facebook.
You got Facebook Livers?
Yeah, we got a few. They're popping in and popping out. They don't quite understand the fact that it's just my picture there is the only one talking, and there's three of us talking. But it's the way Facebook works. But, you know, we're trying this out. We're trying Facebook out along with all of our other platforms.
What's my picture of?
I can't because it's streaming from my account.
Well, just put my picture on your account.
Oh, yeah, because you're the sexy one. That's right.
I am the sexy one. Everybody knows that.
This is true.
Even Rick knows that. Rick's pretty sexy himself.
So let's don't leave us on Facebook. Keep listening. It's, you know, politics, pop culture, stupid criminals. We've won 2 awards. Come on, stick with us.
Right, we're working on our third.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay. Well, y'all saw Gwen Berry at the Olympic trials. Everybody's talking about this. She's the anti-American Black Lives Matter fool who finished 3rd in the hammer throw. Third. She finished 3rd.
Look, no chance.
If you finish 3rd, shut the fuck up and get measured for your USA Olympic gear, because you ain't going to win shit in Japan anyway, and marching in the parade is the best you're going to do. Okay?
Pretty much. She's not even going to make TV time.
She turned away from the American flag during the anthem. For anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about. She's on, and she goes, "They set me up. They said they were going to play that racist song, and they played it." Well, they didn't play it for the award ceremony. This isn't like the Olympics where they play the anthem for every gold medal winner. They have it set up so that they play the national anthem at 5:20 p.m. every day during the outdoor trials. Okay. They just happen to be getting the hammer throw award medals at 5:20 p.m. And the song played. And she turned her back on it. And she put her t-shirt on, which says activist athlete. And she put that over her head. And every Republican in Congress thinks she should be kicked off the team. But of course, the White House is defending her.
Yeah, our Olympic Committee is allowing any of these things to be tolerated. But again, they've made note that they do not know how this will, you know, affect, you know.
Rick, you're head of the U.S. Olympic Committee. What do?
Kick them off. If you can't respect the flag, don't represent the country when you're going to the Olympics.
See, now this, Rick, I think you're onto something here. I mean, we're allowing these football players and basketball players and stuff like that, you know, to take a knee, and a lot of people are finally getting over it. And yes, you know, it is a disgrace to the country if they take the knee because it is the national anthem. But with these Olympic people, they are actually representing our country. Yes.
I mean, you got USA on your chest, bitches.
Right, right. The guy that's playing for the Yankees or the Marlins that, you know, takes a knee, he's not representing the United States of America. He's representing the Marlins. But
he's representing himself.
Well, right. But these athletes are representing us, and they should respect all the customs that the Olympians follow.
Now look, I got regardless. A lot of problems with Megan Rapinoe, who was, for some inexplicable reason, made captain of the United States women's soccer team. But when they were winning their last World Cup, and good on them for doing it, they're very talented ladies. They basically kick the shit out of the rest of the world. Our men should be jealous of their skill level versus the other women of the world. But Rapinoe said she wasn't going to stand for the anthem. The U.S. Soccer Federation told her to stay in the fucking locker room till the song was over. And that's what she did. Well, so the U.S. Soccer Federation apparently has more balls than the U.S. Olympic Committee.
Well, they at this point, they just don't want to create problems, you know, and I think they'll just let these people.
She's not going to win nothing. You can dump her. It's not a big deal.
This is true. But is the person that came in fourth going to win either? No. So, I mean, instead of creating waves and dumping her.
The person
who
came in fourth don't get on the team.
Well, but they'd have to replace.
But they would be proud. I bet you they'd be proud to march in the frigging colors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got to give me a Team USA jacket. I'm excited. I like it when the Olympics come on. I always buy something Team USA.
Well, Teamy. I don't know. Rick, you got anything else on that?
No. No, like I said,
throw her off.
Yeah, you throw her off. If you can't respect, you know, the country that you're representing, get the fuck off the team.
Well, I have a different take on this, and I've been posting on every social media news report on this, including Fox News and a whole bunch of other big columns that run by my Facebook feed. My take on this is I understand that Cuba has an opening on their Olympic team for a hammer thrower on the female side. And her views seem way more in line with Cuba's. So how about we just trade her ass for a 1955 Chevy? I mean, that's basically all Cuba has to offer. You know, we don't need sugar cane. We're good there. I think it's a fair cop. Oops, I said cop. Mm-hmm. That's an English word for deal. Not as in the people in blue that Gwen Berry hates. By the way, the woman's name that we should be discussing is Deanna Price. She won. She broke the American record, and she made the second longest female hammer throw in history at the trials. And she's not a man. And she proudly draped the American flag across her back while celebrating. I can root for her, and I will just tell you right now, Cuba, Deanna Price is not available. The other girl that we should talk about who has a chance at a medal is Brooke Anderson, who finished second. Mm-hmm. She'll be battling it out for silver or bronze, unless she has some, you know, the throw of her life. But she's got a chance. Gwen, what's her name? She has no chance.
I do want to mention one other thing from the Olympic trials, because I've been watching the track. I've been watching, you know, whatever's on. Of course, you know, the gymnastics are on, and my daughter's in gymnastics. But, you know, I was so excited to see, you know, the girls. And, you know, night one was an amazing night. Simone came out. She, you know, almost two and a half points, you know, ahead of her competition. You know, the media, you know, she's the GOAT, the greatest of all time, for you that don't know what GOAT stands for. And they're playing her up as this invincible.
She's the Tom Brady of gymnastics.
Yeah, I mean, she's on a league of her own. No one else can touch her, you know, blah, 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 which is true. I mean, for the most part, they're right. But then she turns around Sunday night and she comes out and the media got to her head, because, you know, Sunday night she comes out and she falls off the beam. I mean, she didn't have a good routine. I mean, she still won. She is the GOAT, okay? She's never going to probably get beaten, you know, short of getting injured in the middle of one of her routines. But she really did not have a stupendous performance at all on Sunday. And I really wanted to go to Facebook and just say, you know, Simone Biles equals mortal, because everybody wants to look at her as this person that just can't be beat and is immortal and totally above everybody else. And she's right. Not. We all have those days. I mean, she could go to the Olympics and not get a medal at all. She'll
still be the greatest of all time.
She is. I mean, I'm not taking that away from her, but I'm wondering, she seemed to have a little bit of a cocky attitude this weekend. Then when she fell off the beam, her night went to shit. But yes, you want to be cocky. Maybe it was her time of the month. Well, it very well could have been. But I just don't want to see this go to her head and all of the media continue to call her, you know, this GOAT and invincible and in a complete league of her own where she's untouchable. Everybody's touchable. Everybody's replaceable. I mean, just because she's the greatest now doesn't mean that she's not going to go to Tokyo and get her ass handed by someone that we haven't seen.
Would you put any money on her not winning the all-around?
No, probably not.
But,
I mean, to be honest with you, if she came out in the Olympics all-around with what she did on night two of the trials, there's a strong chance that she may not have won.
Well, if she kicks ass in the Olympics like she did last time, that autographed picture I got for Gracie that I paid a lot of money for, it'll be worth enough to put Gracie through college if she doesn't get a scholarship, which she probably will.
Would be nice. So, yeah. All right, I'm off my Simone. Simone. I love the team. They picked a great team.
You watch the Olympics, Rick?
Not really. No.
No?
Really? You don't get into it at all?
Yeah.
Did you play any sports? About,
baseball and stuff. Yeah. I mean, not professionally or semi-professionally, you know, with kids on the block back in Brooklyn.
Stickball?
Stickball. Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Oh, that's a pretty badass game, man. They play in the streets.
No blood, no foul.
Yeah, I wonder if that's allowed anymore.
Probably not.
I mean, back in the day, kids just went out and played in the damn street. Traffic came, you moved over.
No, you yell out car. First, you got to
game off.
Leaves. Then the car passed. Go back in the street.
Yeah, and if the game's tied and it's late, you know, fuck the car. Let them wait.
Look at Wayne and Garth. They used to play in the fucking road.
Yeah.
Party on.
Wayne's World.
Oh, God. Anyway. I like, they're back doing commercials. These guys are in their 60s.
Oh, they fucking look awful.
And they're doing commercials trying to look like they're 32 again. When they were 32, they tried to look like they were 18.
It's such a sad attempt at trying. It's so bad.
Well, you got to understand, you know, Mike Myers hasn't made a movie in like, what, 12 years? And Dana Carvey hasn't been able to tour for a couple of years because of COVID. And, you know, they probably need the jack, you know. What the hell are they advertising? Uber Eats or something like that?
I don't even remember what they're advertising because all I can do is
it's something
laugh
about,
at them.
It's a food delivery service, but I don't remember which one it is.
I just laugh because they look so fucking old.
Yeah, Mike Myers has not aged well.
Hey, did you hear? Speaking,
but he did make some of the great. Hell, I've got Mike Myers on top of my damn Facebook page because you know, zip it.
Speaking of not aging well, George Harrison is. I'm sorry, George. Yeah, Harrison
He's
Ford.
Already dead.
Harrison. Yeah, Harrison Ford is filming for Indiana Jones Part 5, and he got injured on set, and the film is currently not taking
place.
Well,
he's what, 70 what?
Oh, yeah, he's older than dirt. I can't believe he's still doing movies. I mean, this guy, they got to wheel him in a wheelchair, probably with IV bags attached to him.
He keeps crashing his airplanes. He probably needs money to buy new ones.
Fucking colostomy bags.
He's 78.
He's awesome. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Indiana Jones movies are great, but I'm sorry. I don't know if I want to see.
I mean, it's Calista Flockhart married him when he was 67.
For his money.
Yeah, she got some money. She had that TV show that I got a kick out of. But anyway. How many plane crashes has he had? 3?
I don't know.
I mean, somebody made a deal with somebody. I mean, this guy—he's still walking the earth after 3 plane crashes.
Well, he opened.
There's 2 I can remember distinctly, but I seem to think there was a 3rd.
It must be when he opened the holy box there in the movie. It helped, you know, give him immortal powers.
No, he didn't look at it. Remember?
Oh, that's right. He didn't look. You're right. He did. That's why he survived and didn't turn into, you know, a dead person like everybody else.
Rick, have you done any movies or just TV?
Yeah, movies, but, you know, just background stuff. Die Hard 3.
You were in Die Hard 3?
Yeah, I mean, actually, you could see a pretty good shot. It's a little out of focus. Of course, they had a focus.
That's the one with Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Your IMDb says Debbie Does Dallas. It's a small part.
No, that was.
Oh!
I was standing.
Oh, that was cold, Slim. I liked it, though.
All right, that's it. It's all out war.
I just busted your ass.
Oh, sure.
He's Italian, man. They don't take that shit lying down.
That's right. You don't know who I know. You don't want to know the people I know.
You don't want to know who he knows, man.
He's a fucked now. Shit.
He's an Italian from Brooklyn. You're dead. You're so dead. I'm probably in trouble just for laughing.
Oh God! He
can get to me easier. I'm only like 20 miles away from him. You're like 1,500 miles.
He's already.
People are up there that I know. So
he's already got a. He's already got a hit.
Yeah, he's just gonna make a phone call to New York.
Fuck! I'll watch my back tomorrow.
Somebody going to be visiting you.
You got to knock on the door. They have the dark glasses on. Hey, you. Are you good?
So, anyways, Die Hard. You were in Die Hard. I didn't mean to take away from your because you are actually a star.
Oh, you yeah, are a star.
Have credits. You have credits to your name. Oh, well, you still got credits to your name.
You know, we did do a feature film. It was a friend. Now, listen to this. My friend wanted to make a reel for himself because he did, you know, other, you know, kind of movies. No, maybe a half speaking part, like a bit part. And then his friends wanted to get into it. And he goes, well, you haven't done any movies, but you got to, you know, you should make a reel. How do we make a reel? Well, you got to, you know, take bits of movies that you've been in. We haven't been in anyone. Hey, let's do this. And they made up a little, it was crazy, a little gangster scene. He goes, I'll just film this. So my buddy, who's actually, you know, done stuff, goes, well, you know what you should do before that? You should do this leading up to that. And then you can do this. And then after that, you can do this. And 90 pages later, there was a script. And, well, we wind up doing that. And I walked into my local, back then, you know, video rental shop, you know, VHS tapes. And I'm hearing lines that I did. And I'm looking around the store, and he's watching our movie behind the counter. And I'm looking, where did you find that? He goes, and a Russian guy, oh, this is a new movie that. And then he looked at me. He looked at the TV, and my partner's on. And he goes, that is you. Went, yeah, that is me. Where did you find this new movie came out? I call up my friend who, you know, did the movie and go, John, do you know a movie's out? Yeah, I wanted to surprise everybody. It got picked up by a distribution company, which we found out was a sham because they just took the movie and ran. We never got any money for it. But it's still out on the shelves.
What's it called?
It's called Brooklyn Boys.
Brooklyn Boys.
Yeah.
And, or if I get that on Netflix.
It's watchable probably once.
Brooklyn Boys. I'm writing this down.
Beer or so, it's watchable once.
All right.
Maybe.
Yeah, I told you he was famous, people. I wasn't kidding.
2002, there you are. Directed by John Blanco, with John Blanco, Brian S. Carpenter, you, and Johnny DeSalvo.
Yeah. He had a
bunch of Goombas.
He gave me associate producer, which if the, in the business associate producer means you're a friend of the producer. that's all. So anytime you see on a big movie associate producer, it means he knew
the. It doesn't mean you got paid extra. It just means you're a friend of the guy who's making the movie. Get paid,
no, but they asked me to edit the movie, so I was the editor. If you look on if you go on IMDb, I was the editor.
You are Sally Chains.
Sally Chains.
And, well, yeah, that's the same thing that happened in that HBO series, The Deuce. It's about the sex trade in New York City in the early 70s. And when porn was just getting started. Mm-hmm. And the switch over to from movie cameras to videotape and stuff was towards the end of it. But the one girl that starred in the porn movies, it was a part of a mob thing. They sold these porn movies to the little peep show houses and stuff. This is before Rudy came in and cleaned up New York. Yeah. And she's standing, she goes in there and she wanted to go see herself. So she's watching the movie through the little peep thing. And she comes out and guys are all like standing in line. They're like looking at her. They're looking at the film that she left the door open. They're looking at the film, the action on the film. And they look back at her, like the action. So yeah. You tell me, that story reminded me of that scene from The Deuce.
Yeah. Man, your movie's gonna set
it's
me
really
back.
You
$27.95 on Amazon.
Are you serious?
Yeah, $27.95.
Somebody's making some friggin' on jack Amazon, on this. Yeah.
We're not making anything on it.
Somebody it, like, is.
All Bezos.
The distribution company took the film. He told John. They said, okay, listen, you know, we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do advertising for you, and you know, we'll cut the check. And then we're going to take out, you know, whatever it costs for all you know, distribution and advertising. So my friend got the first check, $0. And underneath it started at like, you know, 40,000 or 45,000 and change because it was not, you know, new. 10,000 for advertising, 15,000 for, you know, whatever. And he got nothing. And he never saw a penny after that. The distribution company disappeared. And, you know, back then, I forgot the name of it. But we looked online, and they took about 10 movies underneath, you know, their wing, if you want to call it. And
fuck them all.
And screw them all. And, I mean, my buddy said he wanted to look into an entertainment lawyer back then, but
I mean, he was like him and somebody else, you know, did the film. The entertainment line went to 10 like grand up front.
Oh my God, there it is.
And I told you it was a $27. The thing came. No, go
more look. Buying choices, $5.
Yeah, I would say on Amazon, you probably get them for like
$4. Two used.
That was on Amazon for me.
For $27.
DVD is $27.95.
Holy Christ.
Okay. And I am buying two copies of it right now.
I would also like.
Oh, there's only two left in stock.
Uh oh.
Buy now.
Oh, I'm not getting any part of it. But
you do not.
I bought one for you, asshole.
Oh, for him.
You do not have
you,
a.
One for Rick.
Not I, for don't Slim. I have one.
Oh, and then I'll have to send it to Slim because I just bought two, but bitch.
Well, no. We got to send it to Rick first, and then he's got to autograph it and send it to him.
That's it. I will bring this down to your place of work.
Would you like to know what you do not have a Rotten Tomatoes score for this movie, but your IMDb score is a 5.3 out of 10. So,
all right, well,
not bad.
Hey, that's not a 3.
Not bad. It's only 31 votes. So,
all right. Well, I just blew $60 on you, Rick. There you go.
Oh, five
pieces of it.
Wait, so hold on, folks. If you're dealing to me in cash tomorrow, don't expect your tips to be that good.
Okay.
Here we go. We got.
Oh no, you're getting money off.
Pretty lame gangster movie about a godfather-like family in Brooklyn who say four-letter words a lot and kill people.
Yep,
I like that.
Right. Everybody who didn't see the movie, you just saw it.
That's my kind of movie right there, baby.
If you like The Sopranos, you'll love The Brooklyn Boys.
Oh, I'm going to
forget about it.
I'm going to make screenshots out of this and post this them everywhere.
This is like right up there with Goodfellas.
The only actual actors in it were myself, John, and what was the detective's name? I forgot who played the detective.
Well, I just closed my Amazon account, so I can't tell you.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're the only ones in there, really. That do everybody else is just friends of somebody else who thought they wanted a part.
Here you go. This is a must-see film. These guys are the real deal. HBO, are you out there? This is your new season.
Oh, my.
This is the cure for the movie woes.
Now, like I said, it's watchable like once.
Once.
That's all right.
All right. Sorry. We got
new, hey, new movies. They want like $21.95 for me to watch them.
I can't believe that's
you know, when they're released. So, you know, I'll spend an extra $6. Rick's a buddy. So what are you going to do?
You better get a hold of your buddy and tell him someone's selling copies of this shit. Or
I just bought the last two. They're going to have to restock now. Amazon said only two left. Hurry. And I'll buy both.
I'll sign it. It'll be $28.
We'll get them signed. I'll send one up to you, Slim.
All right, there you go. You know what?
That'll cost me $12 on UPS. So I got $80 in this deal already.
And Rick doesn't get a dime.
I get nothing. But
Nancy Pelosi, eat me.
Yeah.
There you go.
Back then, they used regular video camera with tape, with the mini DV tapes. So it wasn't like, you know, like now that, you know, you put a flash card in, it records, and you just take out the flash drive.
Hey, what we should do is listeners should go on Amazon, look up Brooklyn Boys. Okay.
From 2002, because there's one from 2003. You got to make sure you get the 2002. Yeah, that's the one with Rick.
Rick's name's in the header there.
Yeah.
And it's his real last name, not Rick C, but you'll figure it out. And order more. Order them.
So they got to restock.
Yeah. Amazon's computers will go nuts. Oh my God, there's demand for this Brooklyn Boys movie.
You'll be trending.
We're going to order reprints. We'll get you trending, Ricky. Anyway, now that we've established your bona fides as a real star.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And I'm the proud owner of your full length feature movie.
Thank you.
Did you get your start in porn though, or no?
No.
Okay, just making sure. Well, a lot of these movie people get their start in porn, so I wondered if maybe you got your start in porn. I don't know.
Behind the Goomba door. Yeah. That was his first movie.
You know, I went on Amazon now, and it's not up there.
Because Jeff bought them. They're gone.
Shouldn't it say sold out?
It should say sold out, but well, they're a little slow. They're a little slow. But I'll tell you what. Even if they never restock it, I have one for eternity now. I'll be buried with that bitch. So, anyway. Yeah, my name is Jeff on Amazon because it doesn't say zip on my credit card. And that's all they care about. Anyway, I got a shocking story. This is shocking to absolutely nobody, except maybe the now 25% of 29% of Americans that are complete fools. I referenced this last week. This is from Jonathan Turley, a constitutional scholar and law professor from the University of Virginia, who is a Democrat. I'm just going to read you from his article. For years, we've been discussing the decline of journalism values with the rise of open bias in the media. Now, a newly released report from Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism at Oxford has found something that would have been unthinkable a few years ago. The United States ranked dead last in media trust among 49 countries, with just 29% saying that they trusted the media. The most tragic aspect is that it doesn't matter. The media's embraced the advocacy journalism, and anyone questioning that trend risks instant cancellation, cancel culture. The result is a type of state media where journalists are bound to the government by ideology rather than law. You asked me on pre-show, Slim, Russia's higher than us. And I tell you, I've looked at Pravda and I've looked at TASS. Those are the two main Russian things that you can access online in English. And be honest with you, I believe at least half of what they print.
The reason I wondered why they would be so high on the list is because the media that's put out in those countries and in a country like North Korea is completely state-controlled media.
And ours is too now.
And that, unfortunately, is the reality, but people don't want to see that. We do now have state-controlled media. Well, we've had it for a while. It's just now starting
show. Party-controlled media.
There, yes.
Because occasionally Republicans run the government. But this plunging level of trust reflects the loss of the premier news organizations to this woke journalism. This is all Turley's words. We've been discussing how writers, editors, commentators, and academics embrace rising calls for censorship and speech controls, including President-elect Joe Biden at the time and his key advisors. Even journalists are leading attacks on free speech and the free press. This includes academics rejecting the very concept of objectivity in journalism in favor of open advocacy. In other words, there's a lot of things that have come out, just for an example of this, about COVID and Trump. And there's been all kinds of revelations in the last couple of months that Trump was right about this, Trump was right about that, Trump was right about this. Even the border crisis that we have right now, Trump was right on the border. But because Trump did it, the left-wingers wanted it reversed, and Biden just does whatever he's told. And he reversed all Trump's policies, and now they're freaking out. You know, oh my God, there's all these people coming in. We don't know where to put them. You know, and there's, we don't have enough control for Republicans to let us make them all citizens so they'll vote Democrat. So we got to deal with it. One of the
but
lowest.
Even if we let them be citizens, okay. And they vote Democrat. I mean, they're not all going to vote Democrat, but the very, very, very vast majority are. The bigger problem, I think, is we still got to have somewhere to put all of these people. And we have to worry about the diseases that they're bringing into the country and the stuff. I mean,
and the criminals.
And the criminals. And again, we have enough of our own homeless people. Look at Nancy Pelosi's district. Look at the people that, like, you know, sleep on the streets. We have enough of these people of our own that we can't take care of. Our veterans, our homeless. We don't need a whole bunch more that we're now going to just say, okay, you can be a citizen, and we've got to find now a way to take care of you too and mooch off from the system. And it's just this whole thing is a gigantic mess.
Well, he talked about Nicole Hannah-Jones, who wrote the 1619 Project. She's been criticized in her role for purging dissenting views from the New York Times pages. and she embraces absurd anti-police conspiracy theories. And right now, even waiting for facts is viewed as unethical by journalism professors who demand that reporters make political or social declarations during their coverage. That isn't what media is supposed to be. Okay, that's what Goebbels would think media was. If you know who Goebbels is, it's G-O-E-B-B-E-L-S, I believe, or L-E-S. It's one or the other. Look it up. Learn some history. Because your school ain't teaching history anymore.
No, they're not. But isn't media supposed to be what you just said earlier when we led into one of our stories? We report, you decide, instead of we slam down your throat what we want you to believe. And if you don't believe it, we're going to just keep repeating it until you do.
Yeah. And if you raise any objections, we will just disown you.
Pretty much.
And ruin your life. One of the lowest moments came when the New York Times made a culpa for publishing in an opinion column by conservative senator, I think it was Tom Cotton. They were denounced by many for its cringing apology after publishing his column, and they promised not to publish future such columns. It will not publish a column from a Republican senator on protests in the United States, but it will publish columns from one of the Chinese leaders crushing protests for freedom in Hong Kong. Senator Cotton was arguing that the use of National Guard troops may be necessary to quell violent riots, noting the historical use of this option in past protests. This option was most recently used after the Capitol riot. So if people who are addressing their grievances at the Capitol on January 6th do some breaking and entering and steal Nancy's laptop and sit in her friggin' chair and rot in jail for what now, 6 months, 6.5 months? Boy, they called out the National Guard in a hurry, didn't they? Put a big fence around the Capitol and all that shit. But, you know, when major American cities are burning down, oh, don't do that. Don't bring in police. That's racist. It's not racist, honey. It's law and order. That's all it is. It doesn't matter what the color of the perpetrators is. So, you know, this crap's going on. Nobody trusts. 29% of Americans trust the media now. That's it. That's really friggin' sad.
Well, again,
we're not among the 29%.
There's no reporting anymore. There's no Dan Rathers. There's no Walter Cronkites.
Rather lied. That's why he lost his job.
Well, I understand, but there's nobody.
He went over to the dark side.
Well, they don't deliver the news. They deliver a viewpoint. They deliver an opinion, and then they slam it down your throat until you
said it before. I'll say it again. When I was growing up, Walter Cronkite was the man, and Walter Cronkite was a Democrat and left wing at the time, but nobody ever knew it.
No, because he delivered the news.
The only thing he ever stuck his opinion in was on Vietnam, and that was late in his career. So. But I think, you know, it could be a tad lower than 29% of Americans. I just can't tolerate it anymore because some of them could be Tucker viewers. But, you know, when I was teaching sales to my employees, you know, I explained to them that 10% of customers are agreeable to just about anything you propose to them. They're the whales. They're the easy ones. 10% are going to argue about anything. They'll have objections, this, that, next thing, and you're just going to get frustrated. Don't worry about them either. It's how you handle the 80% in the middle that will determine your success. Now, if I open another company tomorrow, those numbers are going to have to change because there's a lot more than 10% that argue about anything and facts don't matter. So I would have to change my lesson a little bit.
And well, you know what? You obvious. Know what? You know what? I almost want to say that it's almost a 50-50 split and it's split about it. It's split. You know, facts don't matter. Depending on what the subject is, and if you're Republican, you're going to fight with the Democrat, and if you're Democrat,
talking about just general sales.
Normal people,
they could be any political persuasion. Just basically, 10% of people are assholes, and 10% of them, you can talk into anything. It's how you deal with everybody else in the middle who thinks about things, is what makes a difference in sales. And anybody out there who's listening, who's in sales, knows I'm right. They've probably heard the same thing in their careers. But I don't know.
No, I got nothing on that.
That's good. Then we'll go to Stupid Criminal.
Okay. Yeah, because we got to have our Super Criminal. I don't want you getting, you know.
I don't want the cards and letters.
Emails and
keep your cards and letters.
But
you guys really got cards and letters if you didn't.
I skipped the Stupid Criminal 1 week. What about 8 shows ago? 10 shows ago? Maybe 12 shows ago. I didn't have Stupid Criminals that week. Slim even goes, "Where's the Stupid Criminal?" I go, "Oh, like thanks for reminding him, Slim. There's no Stupid Criminal this week." I got like 10 messages. How come you didn't do a Stupid Criminal? Well, you always do Stupid Criminals. They're funny.
Well, listen, since you're going to do a Stupid Criminal and people aren't going to email or message you to complain about it,
that's
just
true.
Poke Zip.
Oh, God. Look up Rick's movie, find out his real name, poke him.
There you go.
Name isn't on Facebook, though.
That's true.
Yeah. You made me look on Amazon for Stupid Movie. You sure you didn't buy the VHS tape at $23.74?
Nope, I bought the two DVDs. They had two left.
I got gone. You can get there's one up here, $140.92.
I'm putting mine up on eBay. Once
that was mine.
I'm putting mine up for $1,000 on eBay. You know, this
autographed by the star.
I'm gonna make an NFT out of it and everything.
Yeah. All right, good that you paid me back my $80, bitch. Anyway, our Stupid Criminal of the Week. Alas, he's not here to become famous. Anyway, besides, you probably haven't heard about this crime because the criminal was a white idiot, but he's dead. So we are here to say goodbye, Gage Milton. Gage Milton and a friend of his rushed into a Ohio Papa John's last week. Gage had a crowbar. His friend had a knife. They bum rushed the people at the counter. One of the people at the counter, who they don't name, was a CCP carry permit, they call it. It's concealed weapon permit, CWP in a lot of states. They bum rushed him in. They had weapons. They tried to rob us. And when they called the police, they said one shot, wounded on the floor. One of them ran out. The Papa John's employee who shot the suspect told the police he was a lawful concealed carrier. The coroner's office identified the man who died as 21-year-old Gage Milton, the man with the crowbar. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed an expanded Stand Your Ground law in January. It says a person has no duty to retreat before using force in self-defense, defense of another, or defense of that person's residence, if that person is in a place where the person lawfully has a right to be. So in other words, your place of work.
Or any public place, for that matter.
Yeah, so Gage Milton, you're our Stupid Criminal of the Week because you didn't do your job.
That's right.
Slim, what do we always tell these fools when this happens?
If you want to be good at something, you got to do your homework.
Better prepare. You should have cased the joint. You should have known. But, you know, then they're going to Papa John's. You know, where are you going to get? $160.
Yeah, these guys were just looking for a quick score for their drugs. Yeah. They weren't after the big haul.
Our advice to criminals and to all listeners, be professional. Be professional. Do your job. Do it well. Case the place first before you rob it. Don't you ever watch any friggin' movies?
All these shows on Discovery.
They don't just break into the bank without doing a week of surveillance.
Oh, and if you watch all these shows on TV, they pretty much give you all the tips, tricks, and hints and how to get away with the perfect crime and hide the body, the money, and everything else. Hey, it's listen.
In our movie.
There you go. Just don't put it on Facebook.
Yeah, if you're dumb enough to bring a crowbar and you rush a concealed carry holder who's packing, it's not going to end well.
No.
It is not going to end well.
Do your homework.
Yeah. Yeah, now see, we're in Florida. We have Stand Your Ground law here, too. And I had an incident about 5 days ago, and I told you guys on pre-show, and you said for me to tell the story, so I'll tell the story.
Yeah, go ahead. We go as long as we want.
I live in a gated community. It's private, no soliciting, that kind of thing. Okay, shut up if you don't. You know, kiss my ass. Okay, that's where I live. But I have been getting people knocking on my door late afternoons, early evenings. For the last month, four or five of them, I think four, let's say four. I can't remember a fifth one, so let's say four. In the last month, asking me if they can examine my roof and do an estimate. My roof's fine. My roof doesn't leak anywhere. I've had electricians and all kinds of people up in my roof for the last couple of years. There's no signs of any problems up there at all.
They were doing their homework. They were casing your house.
Yeah. But, you know, when my doorbell rings, my ADT camera takes like 30 seconds to click on so I can see who the hell it is.
You got to get a better system.
Yeah, it's not as fast as Ring. But I don't, you know, anyway, I don't want to Ring. But the ADT camera out front doesn't click on that fast, and I have frosted front doors, so I can't see who the hell's out there. So when the doorbell rings, I look out. If I'm in the office, I look out the slats behind me. If you ever see any pictures, those wooden slats are behind me. That's in my office. I look out there and I figure there's an Amazon truck or UPS or some delivery vehicle of some kind. And there was nothing. So I have a gun here in my office and I put it in my back pocket. And I went and I opened the door. And there's this guy standing there. And he was about 10 feet back, which was smart. And he goes, I'm so-and-so, and I'm here to look at your roof. He says, a lot of problems with roofs in this area. And I said, you know, I cut him off right there. I said, you know, soliciting is not allowed in this neighborhood. It's posted everywhere. So technically, you're on my property committing a crime, and you're on my property in Florida committing a crime. So I think technically I have the right to shoot you. Never seen a white kid run that fast. Oh my God.
Out of there.
He could have won the Olympic trials. He was gone. I know it's a little mean, but you know, I'm just friggin' tired of it. Just tired of it. You know, you move into a nice place and you have this kind of thing, and you got to put up with the HOA, and then people don't follow the damn rules. Go away. Don't bug me. If I have a problem with my roof, I'll call a professional. It's not going to be some 23-year-old kid trying to make 10% commission. Piss off. So anyway. So let's do some pop culture and our cancel culture is bullshit segment tonight. What do you think of that?
Sure.
Pop culture. We covered stupid criminals. We covered politics. Let's cover pop culture.
And cancel culture.
Yeah. Bachelor. They fired Chris, what's his name?
Harrison.
He defended some girls on the show. Bachelor's ratings have hit a record low after show fires host Chris Harrison over those racist comments he supposedly made. There's nothing racist about his comments at all, but it's cancel culture. Ratings for the first full season of Bachelor show without canceled host Chris Harrison are in, and there's the lowest in franchise history. Season 17 premiere came to 3.5 million viewers in an 09 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic, but that was the lowest premiere in season's history. By contrast, the year before, they had like 1.25 million more viewers when Chris Harrison was there. And things only went down from that debut. Episode 2 dropped to 3.2 million. I mean, God, this is only like one third of American Idol, for Christ's sake. Or at least even American Idol's doing 8 million.
Yeah.
Overall, this season's down 20% in total viewership, 30% in the younger demographic bracket, which is coveted among advertisers. And the only significant change is the host. And in Harrison's absence, Bachelorette alums Tashia Adams and Caitlin Bristow have shared the gig. So Chris Harrison got screwed, but apparently Disney, which owns ABC, got woke. You're not going to finish it for me? They got woke, and they're going broke.
Oh, I didn't know what the writing.
Oh, you guys didn't know that one? Yeah.
No.
Get woke, go broke. Coca-Cola lost, 20% of their sales or 18% of their sales after they said try to be less white? I haven't bought a Coke product since, except for when I had to on the road.
You're going to continue to see more and more of this. And all it's going to do, and it should to a certain degree, is rein some of these people that we call public figures or people with public authority to maybe think twice. You said his remarks weren't racist, which
No, know, I was a friend of the girl. She attended an antebellum party, you know, where they dressed up as Southerners from the Deep South.
But these
and
these
she people, was like 19 and was at a frat thing, for Christ's sake. You know, the Prime Minister of Canada wears blackface all the time. The mayor the governor of Virginia, we still haven't decided if he's the one in the KKK outfit or the one in blackface in his college yearbook. But if you're Democrats, it's okay. But Harrison is a known conservative in Hollywood. So therefore, he defends a 19-year-old girl who goes to an antebellum party at a place that did used to discriminate against blacks. But that stuff ended 20 years before she went to it. And the woke mob goes screaming all over Twitter, calling for his head, and ABC and Disney handed his head to the public. Dying.
So let me ask this, though. Was there anything that said that this guy had to go to her defense and make tweets and defend her, or did he feel that he was going to use his voice and the platform to try? I mean, it's not like this girl called out.
She was taking a lot of shit, and he just stuck up for her when a news person asked him.
But what that leads me to my point that I said before is, regardless, you know, whether he's right or wrong, sometimes we need to not make comments, stay out of things that we have nothing to do with, because we're going to get canceled for the things that we say if it doesn't agree with the one side or the other. People just need to keep the Dixie Chicks. There's a prime example. They ran their mouths about politics years ago and everybody hated them.
Their career went to hell.
To hell. Just, you can have your opinions, but just keep them to yourselves as public figures. I mean,
well, he was asked about it from news media. She was on the show. She was an integral part of the show. And he said, look, she was 19 years old. That place integrated 20 years before she even went there. It's just stupid. And
she said, look, I have no comment.
Then it sounds like he's agreeing with the Twitter mob. And as a conservative, I don't think he could have lived with himself. I couldn't.
You're right.
You know, but on the funnier side of this story, he's been making $8 million a year in his last contract. So he's been making $8 million a year for a while. And he's been, how long was he on the show? 15 seasons.
Yeah, a lot.
15 seasons, 16 seasons. Now, I don't think he was making $8 million from the get-go, but he's made a lot of money off the show. Well, when they canned him, he demanded $25 million in severance pay, or he would out their dirty little secrets about the show, you know, about how stuff's staged and everything. Like, we couldn't figure that out ourselves.
Which he couldn't have done anyways, because all that shit was probably already in a non-disclosure in his
agreement. Oh, well, that's just it. He didn't have one.
No?
No. So in order to get him to sign one, apparently they paid him up to $50 million.
Oh, I can't.
In exit money. So he wouldn't give out their dirty little secrets. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what's known as karma. So of course, then we have the comedy that keeps on giving, otherwise known as Fraudenstein or Creepy Joe, Trader Joe, Dementia Boy. There's lots of names. Commander-in-Chief should not be one of them. You remember, three weeks ago, we did the Aussie news guy who told off Greta Thunberg, and she's a bitchy little Swede who moans about climate change all the time.
Yes, you called her a bitch. Thank you.
You called her a bitch. Oh, well,
you
yeah.
finally agreed.
I said she was bitchy.
Same thing. You still were. B-I-T-C-H is still in bitchy.
Yeah, well, you know, I reviewed your comments and thought you were right, so I wrote it that way. Well, anyway, this Aussie news guy is back. And the subject this week, the fool in the White House. This is from Dan Bongino's show. Here we go.
Why isn't it playing? Oh, watch. What? I know what I did wrong. I'm sorry. Give me one second. Facebook has a tendency to do something very stupid, which drives me nuts. Here you go. Ready?
I'm ready.
God help me. And then this.
Here's another. This is a piece from Sky News. This is an overseas media entity where the host is like, dear U.S., your president is losing his marbles. This is kind of something to worry about. You don't think people overseas are noticing this? Keep in mind, this was from a month ago. Check this out.
Putting Biden in this position of leading the world's democracies is elder abuse. His incoherence is not new, but it surely can't go on. There will have to be a presidential resignation shortly. Listen to this from only a couple of weeks ago.
The only way to spare more pain and more loss, the only way, these millstones no longer mark our national mourning. These milestones, I should say, no longer mark our national mourning.
God help me. And then this.
I have never been particularly poor at calculating how to get things done in the United States Senate. So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway.
This is the leader of the free world. How can we believe any self-respecting world leader will take this bloke seriously? Can you imagine what it's like talking to him live? One wag had it right with a meme that was posted on social media that says it all. Hey, Sleepy Joe, I think it'd be less confusing if you just turned the teleprompter around and let us read it for ourselves.
There you go.
That's good. That's priceless, man. But I mean, you know, while it's funny and we're laughing at it,
it's true.
Unfortunately, it's close to bedtime and you go to bed thinking about this idiot's in charge of our country. Oh, my God. You're not going to sleep well tonight. I apologize. Anyway, zone out stuff. Tell me about Zone Out, buddy.
Zone Out Radio. Get the app. It's in the Google and the Apple Store. First, you can listen to music 24/7, commercial free. And of course, you and I and Rick on Tuesday nights, you can stream us there. Of course, if you don't want to get the app, you can download or you can listen on Zone Out Radio, offlookradio.com, or idleradio.net. So
just click the link on any of our Facebook pages.
Yeah, I'd like you to download the app though, because everything's right there in nice one convenient location. We send you notifications, let you know we're on the air. You know, any breaking news that, you know, like if the zombie apocalypse happened, we would let you know quick that the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah,
happened.
I mean, hey, we went live during the Ferguson riots.
We did. We did. We had a special show. We went live.
I tried calling the drugstore to get a writer to answer, and they wouldn't answer the bitches. But, no, I mean, yeah, listen to it. And the thing is, all our podcasts are there, too. So, like, if it's, you know, like you're one of those binge-watching people, you know, and you go, hey, these idiots are half funny and they actually have some news. You know, you can go back and you can listen to like 15,000 episodes.
No.
All right, it's not 15,000, but there's a lot of them.
There is. There's quite a few.
We lost my early days, though, didn't we?
We did. And all of our Farmville rant. Those were the good ones. I wish we still had some of the Farmville rant.
Oh, well, I did my impersonations. Yeah, I wish we had those because Rick would love them.
Yeah, they were good times. Good times back then. So. Thanks to the Facebook Live listeners. I know there's been people popping in and out. There's quite a few in there right at the moment. You know, we've only done this 2 weeks here on Facebook Live, but we do stream, like I said a few minutes ago, on an app, on our websites.
Well, you know, once I get my DVDs in of Rick's movie, I'll make a screenshot of it of Rick being a badass, and we'll put that on the Facebook Live page.
That'll track numbers. That might work.
You know, listener else, bitches. Hmm. We send this guy after you. We make one phone call. He comes knocking on your door. Anyway, I want to close tonight with a song from the last season of one of my favorite shows, Lucifer. This song is called Dangerous Man, and I was going to dedicate it to Biden. As I just referenced, he is dangerous, but he's also too damn feeble to be really scary, and unless he's talking about bombing somebody. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to dedicate it to us. To cool. Off the Hook Radio, because we lay it out there and we don't care. These days, that makes us dangerous. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Nighty.
They say I'm a wanted man. Hold the line and break the fire. I'm setting all the captives free, but I'm hanging by a wire. All those suckers know my name. But I just gotta fight the fight. They love to play those dirty games. From the dark will come a light. Look out, I'm coming. Look out, I'm a dangerous man. Yeah. I'm a dangerous man. phrase. They tremble when they hear my voice. I knew there would come a day. They say that I'm a wanted man. They got a bounty on my head. They're drawing lines up in the sand. But I'll rise up from the dead. Look out, I'm a trouble man. Look out, I'm a dangerous man. Look out, I'm coming. Look out. Look out, I'm a trouble man. Look out, I'm a dangerous man. I'm a dangerous man.
Nancy Pelosi, eat me.